This is Stuck Mike with EAA Radio, and I'm not on the field at AirVenture. Instead, I'm at the town of Fisk, Wisconsin, a few miles west-southwest of Oshkosh, and pilots who have flown to Oshkosh know what that means. I am standing in the place where the outstretched hand of greeting is extended to pilots who fly to Oshkosh.
We're landing runway 36 and 27 today. For everybody, the winds are 320 at 14, gust 19.
The Fisk approach is the FAA approach control position for airplanes flying to Oshkosh. Wanda Edelman, who serves as a controller supervisor during AirVenture, gave me a ride to the Fisk control position the Sunday that AirVenture opened. We talked on the way about air traffic control at Oshkosh.
It was probably 20-some years ago that they developed this concept, just because it's Oshkosh is a VFR tower. But there's so many aircraft coming in so quick that we need to organize it before it gets to the airport. So they actually developed an approach control, but it's a visual approach, which a VFR approach control to a controller is an oxymoron. Approach control is radar, but we don't have radar out here, so we've developed a VFR procedure. And we just have the controllers sitting out there. Basically, there's a little trailer, and there's a porch, and there's four controllers and the supervisor out there with binoculars, and they visually acquire the aircraft, and they line them up for the tower, just like an approach control does for a regular control tower.
Who's first?
Black-nosed high wing.
Black-nosed high wing, Rocky Wings.
Got it.
Okay, thanks a lot. Continue following the railroad tracks for runway 27, right entry. Maintain 1800 for the departures. I'll give you a frequency change here momentarily.
Jerry, the one on the end here, is the team leader, so his responsibility is to assign who's doing the spotting and who's doing the communicating, and he makes sure to teach them what we're doing and ensure that the team, you know, he takes care of the team.
One mile.
Bill, you want to try again? I just saw that coming. Come on.
Cherokee 1 mile southwest.
Cherokee 1 mile southwest of Fisk, Rocky Wings.
Good job. Good. No, I got it.
Good job. Where are you parking today?
We're a flight of two Cherokees, General Aviation Camping.
27. Roger, Cherokee flight of two. Roger, getting under fly northeastbound over the railroad tracks, and are a right downwind for runway 27, maintain 1,800 feet inside the gravel pit, and then we'll be traffic departing below you.
Retractable highway.
Cessna RG. Follow the Cherokee.
Keep following.
Cessna, you can follow the Cherokees, runway 27, and fly northeastbound over the railroad tracks, and are right base for 27.
Okay, any chance we can get
36?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, you can start your turn, follow the east-west road, and...
No, just continue for now, and we'll call
just
your
continue,
turn.
We'll call your turn.
He's way out.
Okay.
Along with the four-person teams, more often than not, there's a fifth person, Ray Thiefault, a controller supervisor who began coming to AirVenture 33 years ago with his dad. Ray's ability to spot planes at a distance is legendary. Wanda explains first, then Ray himself.
Those guys that knows every single type aircraft ever made and how many rivets in each wing. I mean, he was talking with one time, Jerry Hoke, one of our other aircraft experts, was up in the tower cab, and Cessna 170 came in, and everybody knew what it was, but Ray and Jerry were arguing whether it was a 65 or 67. And he said, how do you know? And it's like, well, because in 66 they added the baggage door, and this one doesn't have it, so it's got to be a 65.
Well, it's something that I've worked on all these years. I tell the kids that come up here and they ask me about aircraft recognition, how do I do it? And I tell them you have to live it. And it's true, you have to live it from a young age. And I've read Sport Aviation since 1973.
Is there a Pete and Paul flight coming up from Ripon about 2 southwest of Fisk this time?
Oh, so this is the flight of Pete and Paul's, right?
No, this is a breezy. We don't get too many breezies over Oshkosh. That's probably a gentleman from, I believe it's Casa Aero Estates out in northwest Illinois. They've come to visit me before, and the paper cub behind him, maybe his father out of Indiana.
Ray really adds a lot of consistency because we'll have a different team in the morning, a different team in the afternoon. So most teams only get to be at Fisk one time, but he just loves Fisk so much. He loves the procedures. He knows all the aircraft, and he provides the consistency that we need out here for the operation.
What's the most common error that you see folks make as they make this approach?
That would be accepting the control instructions that we're issuing to other aircraft.
RV over Fisk, turn right. Not the Bonanza.
He's dark. He's got a red nose.
Dark. A red dark. Nose looks like an RV.
Yellow nose RV.
Turn right.
We try to remind the pilots that they're not going to receive the control instructions until they're about 8 miles northeast of Ripon. And the most frequent error is that aircraft beyond that point, further away from Fisk, accept the control instructions and then fly a heading other than they're supposed to. Then the second most is pilots that just don't listen to the air traffic instructions and fly right past Fisk, knowing that they're going to be able to arrive at Oshkosh one way or the other. But they're usually policed by their fellow aviation community. The other pilots are aware of it, and they're often talked to when they reach the ground, and they discuss the NOTAM procedures.
Do you ever discuss the NOTAM procedures in the air still?
No, we do. If there's a pilot that shows up that's unsure, and we had on our first day, we did have a pilot who was his first time into the air show, and he needed to be guided. Even though he had the NOTAM in hand, he was a bit nervous. So we just presented ourselves again in a friendly manner and just tried to help him out.
The weather Saturday was a little rough. How did that change approaches and landings?
The approaches and landings, it didn't have much of an impact. What it did was pretty well eliminate runway 36 from our mix here. So the majority of the aircraft had arrived runway 27. It made the pilots work a little bit harder because we require the half-mile in-trail spacing between Ripon and Fisk and beyond to the airport. And because of the volume of the traffic, it was more difficult for the pilots. Additionally, at the airport, it was difficult for the controllers at the airport because Fisk isn't the only feed that we have for the airport. We have IFR aircraft coming straight into runways 927, and we have the Warbird arrivals, the tri-motor demo flights that operate into and out of the airport. So Fisk isn't the only feed that they receive, and since the winds were favoring runway 27, that was our primary departure runway as well.
So see a guy circling over Ripon. Are you arrival or departure if you're on frequency?
Venture on arrival.
Okay, if you're an AirVenture arrival, are you, you're a Cessna that's circling down there?
Yeah, I could. I had to break off. You didn't see me.
Okay, well, I appreciate you doing that. Come back and pick up the railroad tracks, and once you get a little closer, we'll pick you out. If we get a half mile south and we don't pick you up, give me a call.
Okay, thank
you. Thanks, bud.
We know that we're the first voices, air traffic voices, that they're going to hear en route to the convention. We want to present ourselves in a professional, positive, and friendly manner. Try to relieve the stress of the pilots as they're proceeding inbound from Ripon to Fisk. And we're just the door that we open for the welcome.
The Fisk approach, the greeting for pilots flying to Oshkosh. For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.